This is Sacrilegious with your host, Gary Latterman.
We're back again, and it's good to be back. It's good to be. This is another episode of Sacrilegious, and I am here once again to see about leading us all on the sacrilegious path. For now, today, in this episode, I want to sort of continue with these preliminary monologues, talking a bit first about why the podcast, the what of the podcast, what is religion, another fun and recurring topic we'll encounter again and again, I'm sure. But today I thought maybe we can say a little bit about the who. That is, thinking about religion through individual lives. It's clear that all of us are capable of so many different kinds of topical memoirs. We could write a memoir, say, on our encounters with death through life and what they have meant for us and how they have shaped us. And in fact, I've written a book that's a memoir on death in my life called Don't Think About Death. So that you might be able to at least get a little glimpse of that topic as it's played out through my life. But sure, yeah, other topics, you know, other kinds of memoirs, other kinds of themes that really bring all of the threads of our lives together into our stories. So certainly maybe a memoir on music would be good, because music for all of us is so essential and defining and significant in our lives, constant for many of us. So that's another way to think about our individual lives, or sexuality. There you go. There's another one that's probably, you know, full of all kinds of great potential for revealing the truths about our lives, how we change through life, especially, you know, how our views change about these and other topics. And of course, you know, obviously I'm getting to the religious narrative, how each of us have stories that are connected to religious and spiritual perspectives or concepts or encounters. And even for those atheists among us, you know, running away from religion or defining yourself against religion in itself is a religious story. So, you know, that is a part of, I think, the sacrilegious landscape is thinking about really and being honest about some of these religious stories that define who we are and how we've come to be. How we've changed through time, and how maybe we don't change at all through time. For myself, my story is idiosyncratic and particular to me, no doubt, but also no doubt fairly common place, and maybe familiar to many of you baby boomers or younger. But my story, and I won't touch on the importance of death in, you know, in throughout my life. Instead, I'll try to just focus on some of the more religious aspects, and you know, tell you when I was younger that I was brought up in a Reformed Jewish household in San Fernando Valley, and Judaism was a tangential part of our lives for the most part, even though I did make my way through Sunday school and Hebrew school. It was certainly part of the family upbringing, and the temple was a place for social and religious interactions. But, you know, after the bar mitzvah at 13, I would say, and especially as the youngest kid in the family, we just stopped going for the most part, you know, never looked back. And for myself personally, it was liberating to become a man, at least in the one sense of, you know, deciding I'm not going back to temple. So, you know, that got me out of religion, or at least organized institutional religion. I had other ways in which to begin to see the power of religious experiences and religious connections, even though they may not have been so familiar to me or recognizable at the time. You know, particularly as a young teenager, when I would say a few things happened that shook me up and disoriented me, and then reoriented me into a much more spiritual way of seeing things. So one for sure was related to tripping and having my first encounter with LSD as a young teenager. That definitely shook me up, and I've written about that too. That not in the death book, but that you can find somewhere on the web. LSD and me, basically, and you know, it wasn't so much the story of what LSD did to my spiritual outlook. What I wrote about was how LSD as a cultural phenomenon kind of shifted the landscape and the language we use to talk about religion and religious experiences. But certainly the experience kind of changed my outlook, perspective. Everything you've read about the trip is, you know, I experienced, except it wasn't a bad trip. It was a great trip. And indescribable, but also, you know, consciousness expanding and completely redefining my sense of self and what's in the world and what's not in the world, having a much broader sense of a more cosmic understanding. So that would be one. The other would be a dream that I had that. Geez, yeah, I do write about this in the death book, because in the dream I die, which you're not supposed to do. At least that's what, you know, I always heard growing up. If you die in your dream, you'll have a heart attack and die or something. But I didn't die. You know, I died in the dream, but I didn't wake up, I should say. And I kind of got a glimpse of something beyond through that dream that really gave me a whole different outlook and sense of self in the larger frame than just myself or my family or my community or my country or this world. It's definitely very cosmic. So that was another one that that came up and really, as I say, shook me up. The final one that I would mention, again, that may or may not be something that will resonate with you, but certainly another experience came through music. And I'll have to confess that when I was a young man, a young teenager, becoming young adult, I was a complete nut for Bruce Springsteen. Like many, I wasn't alone. But I saw him 20, 30 times living in Los Angeles. And I would say that without question, early on, it was for the River Tour when the boss was playing Jungle Land that I had a complete out-of-body cosmic experience, cosmic reorientation that I'll never forget. Like the others are vivid and just somehow imprinted in my consciousness and, you know, also in many ways transforming my consciousness, even though I have to admit, even though I had these experiences and they were quite profound, I didn't know the extent of their impact till much later in life. You know, in other words, I continued to be an asshole as a teenager and young adult. and be driven by more earthly, sensual desires and interests than those kind of cosmic spiritual ones that came later. So, you know, those are maybe typical for some, you know, people who were teenagers growing up in the 70s and then in the 80s. I would say growing up in the 70s and 80s also shaped my understanding of religion and the world, for sure, because obviously that was a time in which you really see the emergence and growth of a different kind of conservative Christian cultural initiative. I'm talking about, of course, the Moral Majority and the rise of the Christian right. And that definitely just added to the sense of disdain I had for religion, the antagonism I felt, especially towards, again, institutionalized religion, although this is quite different than running away from my Jewish roots. This was a real strong kind of political disgust that, yeah, also stuck with me and kind of shaped my religious story, in a sense. So those things as a teenager coming into adulthood, key, no doubt. I'll make this brief. You know, basically, certainly finding the love of your life and then settling down and having kids gives you a whole other reorientation. And with the reorientation, you know, comes reassessment of values, reconfiguration of how you live every day and what the concerns are and priorities are and what is sacred. So family life, you know, certainly is another dimension that I don't need to go into in any great detail right now. My professional life, as I, well, really had a conversion experience and began to actually, instead of be unsure of what the hell I was supposed to be doing with myself in this life and exploring different avenues and possibilities, I really, as an undergraduate, as I mentioned, had what I would call a conversion experience. It wasn't a conversion to Christ. It was a conversion to learning and knowledge. And all of a sudden, you know, that became my driving force. I wanted to learn. And I got serious, started sitting more at the front of the class instead of always being stoned at the back of the class. But no, I was at the front of the class and, you know, with elbows on the desk, really wanting to be involved and engaged with ideas and smart people. And that was, liberating. So that set me on the path I'm still on. It set me on the the religious path I continue to walk, which is, again, just being in education. It's sacred. I've said this before, and I think I've written about it here or there, but I've been saved by education. Knowledge is liberating. My identity is tied into my professional life as someone at a university who has done research and teaches and so on. It's a source of transcendence, you know, for sure. And I won't try to bore you or go into the details, but certainly there are moments teaching when I am out, you know, kind of having an out-of-body experience, having a sense of being in touch with something larger than myself and the students who are in the class, whether in person or on Zoom. So that, you know how expanded and broad my take on religion is. And with that broad, capacious understanding of religion and applying it out there, you know, in terms of when I think about popular culture, or what I think about medicine, or what I teach about drugs. What I'm doing right now, I don't usually do, which is sort of applying it to myself and thinking about the sacred through my life story. And that's what you get. Or at least that's some of the story. I know I've left out quite a bit. But that may, that brief little narrative may, on the one hand, inspire you to think about your own life story as it relates to the one thread of the sacred, what's religious, and so on. And then secondly, you know, maybe this will help give you a better sense of who I am moving forward and the kinds of discussions and conversations I'm hoping to have. This will definitely not be a series of monologues. But for now, that's what you're getting, and I'm going to keep it on the shorter side this time, and be looking forward to the next time when we'll talk about I don't know what. But thanks for listening, and take care.